Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live here on Blog Talk Live. Call in 515-605-9327, The Illusion of Prosperity. All praises be to the Most High, Ahaya, Bashim, Yeshaya, Wolverwak. I am Elder Rick Carshaw, the Gathered of Christ Church, and I thank you for patiently waiting on the lines, and they're open. The lines will be open for 6 minutes, and after that, the queue cuts out, so if you want to say something, come on in. Come on in. 515-605-9327. You have less than 6 minutes to be a part of this, all right? All right, I have Elder Lawyer there. We have Gianna. Gianna has a comment. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well, yourself. Thank you for calling.
Doing well, thank you. I just wanted to say, refer to the American dream as the American fog. And I call it that solely because the idea of living kind of like a dream life. I feel like everyone has an established dream life that they want to live. But some people let it take them over so much that it clouds their vision. And the world has very slowly grown to the point where it's kind of basically turned into a cesspool that seems to promise you paradise. But in reality, it's twisting you away from the Most High and making you either the obedient servant of money because you have to make money to get everything you want, or it turns you into a god of your own self, which is something that I don't want to do that. And speaking of gods of your own selves, I've noticed that women in the world have kind of become the forefront of immorality being passed off as free will, which I've also noticed makes all women part of that immorality by association. And you wouldn't believe the encouragement that I get to actively partake in some of this stuff, and like the sexual nature of it, just like drugs, alcohol. And as a sister striving to be that Proverbs 31 woman, it's sad to see it, but it's frustrating to me that people won't listen to me the first time. I'm like, the first 10 times I'm like, okay, I'll pass. Like, I don't want to do that. But nevertheless, I'm going to persevere because I keep committing to memory that it's okay to have what I have, to stick by this walk and not stumble, and to stand by my brothers and sisters because they're the ones who will have my back through everything.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not just women. It's all a trickle-down effect. It just so happens that the enemy sought to indoctrinate the nurturers, knowing that women are the first teachers for any society when it comes to culture or tradition. It's been known throughout time that the first teachers of children are the women. So the whole point was not to blame, but to say, okay, are we instilling in our children the traditions and values of old time? Are our children now the product of this new indoctrination? And if so, it's upon all of us to turn it around, but there's a serious responsibility to the nurturer first. Okay? It's important. It's important that sisters understand that role. Okay? And if you deal with the cares of this world and things of that nature and chasing the bag and all that, you know, that's learned behavior now that our daughters will pick up. That's learned behavior where guys are looking at that, and then guys will grow old and be like, you know what, I want to be a part of that, whatever the case is. And that's another clash, okay, where people will start looking for someone who's not in the image of who raised us, man or woman, where we begin to hate the image of those who've actually raised us or resent them. And that was also a part of this. And it's not about blame. It's more so about breaking the curse, okay? Seeing what went wrong, and we've all been shaped in iniquity, and say, okay, it's time to go back to the old way, okay? The old way worked. Okay. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lada.
Okay. And hey, these are young brothers and sisters, and that gives us hope. This sister is fairly young, right? I mean, she's fighting against a tidal wave, but she's fighting nonetheless. All praises. Stan, 281 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you?
I am doing all right. I'm doing blessed, and I'm actually very glad the sister before me went and spoke her piece, because I just wanted to chime in and really like reach out to sisters who are fighting the good fight and really having to fight against the stereotypes and the stigma of what's going on in the world, because the immorality that is pushed on our sisters has gone to the point where they feel like it is their almost their birthright to demand things out of life without supplying what is needed for these results. And as a man, life teaches men rather quickly that's not how reality works. You're going to have to put your hand to the plow one way or the other to get any results out of life, period. And so much so that I was talking with a sister the other day, and you know, it broke my heart so much. I literally felt like I could have wept. She told me that a good man won't be good enough for her, and she didn't realize that when she said it, but she really cursed herself. She spoke a curse upon herself, saying this is a grown 30-something-year-old woman. And if a good man won't be good enough for you, you are doomed when it comes to being with somebody or being under that leadership and having a head over you. You're doomed.
But
you're already out there.
Yeah, but did you inquire to why she felt that way about herself?
Because of the way society has made things. So the way the conversation really was formed was just picking her brain on how she views things that are going on in the world right now and what would be her aspirations when it comes to being married and things of that nature. And I kept breaking down the type of man the Bible said.
Yeah, but the reason I'm asking more so, I'm going to hear what you have to say, what you said to her, but I'm more inquisitive to what happened in her life that would make her feel that way about herself. What have she done to not expect a good man? You understand, I'll be more so inquired to pick her brain to wonder what happened. But
that's
go on.
That's a very good inquiry. And I couldn't help but want to know the same thing, but The nature of this type of person in general, not just woman, but person, who would say such a thing as a good counterpart will never be good enough. The way the temperature of that conversation went, it was very masculine. It was very domineering. And the last thing I wanted to do was to offend the sister. And then there's no room for, hey, let's have a little Christ-like conversation or extend the olive branch or things of that nature. So I kind of took that comment on the chin, being a man having to hear that. And
okay.
I just had to go and just really contemplate, because for you to feel entitled so much out of life but not really inquire on what changes you need to make to be worthy of such a extraordinary perfect dude that you fabricated in your own mind, it's quite troubling. And it tells me the state of the world, and a wise man once said, you know, the state of a nation by the moral disposition of its women.
Yeah.
You know,
and guess
and,
what?
I just wanted to,
hey,
yes,
let me
sir.
Tell you. It's not just sisters. It's just what have been done. It's what been done to women.
God,
they've been lied to. They've been indoctrinated and lied to. And A lot of them are coming around, praise them. And you know what? We've been lied to. Hello, we've been lied to also, though. Because don't forget, a lot of these, a lot of the progressive movements that happened with the education and getting the debt and all that, it was pushed by not just women. It was pushed by families, right? Father and the mother, like, go ahead and in case a relationship doesn't work out, have something to fall back on. Having our children, teaching our children to operate out of fear in case something bad happens. Okay, I put that on hold, brother. Yeah, you got a lot of people. But you can't set a basis based on in case something bad happens. The wrong precedent to set, right? I want to show something real quick. It's quite disturbing. You're talking about you're talking about the robbing of innocence. I need y'all to look at this. This is tripping me out, right? I'm looking at this. Tripping me out. You're talking about the robbing of innocence. Boy. Robbing of innocence. Need y'all to check this out. Lord, have mercy. Lord. Look at this. Hold on. Not that one. Hold on. Let me break it down. Let me show y'all this. Web. This is Destiny's Child. Lord, have mercy. Destiny's Child. That's them there. Let me show you what happened when the devil get hold of you. I mean, look at Beyonce right here. Look at her right here. Texas girl, Southern accent, beautiful, young. Lord, have mercy. Singing in church. Beautiful voice. Look at this. That's her now. What the Hades is going on? Lord, have mercy. Is it the same person? Or has something entered? I digress. Lord, have mercy. Hell, child. Greg has a comment, 252 area code.
Hello?
Shalom, Greg. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Elder? Shalom to all the brothers. This is Brother Greg, North Carolina. I just wanted to say, you know, I'll be sitting at the barbershop, work at the shop in Greenville, North Carolina, and me and the brothers be talking about these things all the time, and how our young women and young men are so confused out here. Like, I see it all day. Our women, they barely speak to the brothers. I got a store right across the street from the barbershop. I walk over there, the young ladies over there, you say hey to them. Our sisters halfway don't speak to us if we don't look like we stunting or something like that. And our young brothers, we just so confused. It just don't make no sense. We feel as though we have to do all these things to impress women and people around us that we fail to realize some of the truth that we have to obtain in order to get some things. You know what I mean? It's like we fail to forget that we got to work hard. We got to, you know, kind of grind to get things. Opposed to it's just been given to her. A person like me, you know, I done been through it all. I hustled and everything. So I know what a little bit of money looked like. But once you clean your life up, you're not going to make that same type of money right off the bat. But you can, though, just by working hard. But I think a lot of things in our society got us puffed up like we supposed to be more than what we really are. And God only requires us to be his children. You know what I mean? And that's something so special that you get more. I think I was reading in, I think it was either Isaiah 55 or 54, when the Most High start talking about how the people, they just, they so selfish, how everything is greedy for their own gain, you know? And it's just like, I see it more and more now. I mean, our women, if you talk to a young lady, I'm still a single male, so if I talk to a young lady and you get to know someone, these women, they'll put you in your in a situation where they want you to pay for certain things, and you don't even ask for them things to be to pay for, you know? I'm just trying to keep it, you know, kind of G-rated, but you get what I'm saying? Like, it's, our whole society is messed up because people feel like they really need these dollars. They feel like these dollars is all they have, but man, I've been realizing, man, that most of I've been calling us for something way more. I mean, and I've been looking at the videos that you and the brothers been doing with your farm and stuff. And me and my brothers, we're trying to get stuff like that together ourselves because it's just, that's important. That's very important because if we, like, I grew up, you know, my grandmother, she had a little farm and all that. So we grew up eating and doing all those things, eating on the farm. So me and some of the brothers, we're doing the same thing. We're trying to encourage one another to do the same thing. Stop buying all these cars. Everybody got these foreign cars when they doing this, when they getting this money, but stop buying that stuff, man. You know, buy something, buy some land, buy some opportunity. I got family members that own businesses, and just like today, they were saying, man, if I was smarter, I would have bought me some land instead of this $400,000 house. They got us on their way of thinking opposed to our way of thinking in righteousness. My uncles and the deacons that was brought up in church, them men worked for themselves. They had their own, and we had a family and a community through the fact that they worked and they showed the other young men how to get it. So it a lot of us didn't. We ain't in jail. We ain't locked up. Even though we learned how to hustle, but we didn't get stuck into that realm because we understood how short it was.
Well, I got it, brother.
But I digress because I could talk.
You gotta wrap it up, brother. I got a lot of people waiting, so you gotta.
Yes, sir. But that was all I had to say. And another thing, can you please contact me? I've been sending my emails. I tie faithfully. I've been a part of a body. I met you and the brothers before. I was with the North Carolina body or whatnot. So please contact me. I've been trying to get in touch with you guys, and I love you.
All right, hold on, Greg. I probably try to reach you tomorrow, okay?
Yes, sir. I had Elder Handanuma and all the rest of the brothers, but I had some situations going on in my life for the last 4 or 5 years that separated me from the body for myself. So I don't know.
Listen,
that's why I've been trying
privately.
Hard to get back
privately.
In touch with
let's
you.
Talk privately on that. Let's talk privately.
It wasn't
that
bad containing the church and that. It was just my own life, you know. Yes, sir.
All right, well, come on back. But I'm going to call you, okay, Greg?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you. And Greg was
on
when he was saying that most relationships now are, you know, out there in the world are transactional. It's that, I mean, even Kanye West said, listen, you think that you got your girl or your wife. Instagram got your girl. Imagine getting validation strictly for putting a picture up. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous to get the illusion of interest because people like, and not only that, other girls are looking at it saying, yeah, I like that girl. And it's just not just from the men getting validation from the women, these false dopamine hits that's far from reality makes it to a degree where people become socially awkward, where they don't even know how to interact with people in the real life. In real world, because they seek validation in the virtual world. It's weird, you know, and how can someone meet up, you know, how can someone feel those expectations when it's someone who got at their best and put their best moment online and that's the reality that they receive on a daily basis. It's wrong. But hey, Kanye West said it. He says, "Hey, Instagram got your girl." All right, let me go down the line. Mimi has a question. 984. Yes, Mimi.
Hello. How are you?
How are you, Mimi?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
I'm blessed by Almighty.
I have a question, and then I also have a comment, but I'm going to go with my question first. My husband and I are relocating to the Houston area, so I was wondering if someone can reach out to me and give me the details for the Houston body.
Okay, where are you currently going to church?
Well, I don't attend church. I just watch you guys. My family and I just watch you guys on the on YouTube. But we're relocating, and we want to get into the church in Houston. So we'll be relocating in a few weeks.
Okay, great. So I'll be putting you in touch with Elder REI. I'm going to text him your number, and he'll call you.
Okay, thank you. And then my comment is, you know, just listening, you know, to the broadcast today, and how you guys were saying too in the video, Love the West Coast, is like how the homeless community, they have more love, you know, for each other, and they really look out for each other than you have, you know, the moderate families today. And I wanted to say, I got married when I was 18 years old. Me and my husband are coming up on 6 years of marriage. We have three beautiful kids. And a lot of young women, you know, they always ask me, you know, like, well, how did you do it? Like, how are you able to find a good man that take care of home and you sit home and you watch the kids and you cook and things like that, you know? And I always tell them, you know, I let my husband deal with the financial part, but I also take care of home, you know? And sometimes in today's modern, you know, history, you got women that don't want to take care of the household, but they want to be, you know, taken care of and things like that. And I always tell them, you know, you have to meet your husband in areas that he don't come through in. You know, that's cooking, cleaning, you know, taking care of the laundry. You have to do those things in order for your husband to be able to go out and work and do things like that. You know, I always try to encourage young women around my age, I'm getting ready to be 23, you know, that marriage can be beautiful. You know, you have a lot of women that look at, you know, the Instagram models and things. They be like, oh, I don't want marriage or anything like that. I just want the Prada bags and the things like that. Oh, I just heard so many bad things about marriage. And I always tell them, you know, like, every marriage is not peaches and cream. You know, every relationship is not peaches and cream. But if you can wait for that man or that woman to become something beautiful, it's worth waiting for, because in the long run, it all pays off, and you will understand and see how beautiful marriage can be, because this is God's plan. You know, I always try to give, you know, even young men and things like that, you know, I've met some young men that don't want to work, but they want the woman to take care of them. And I always tell them, you know, like growing up, when I was with my dad was the sole provider. He took care of home. He took care of my mom. She had everything that she needed to provide for the children and everything like that. He would just come home, you know, give her the money, make sure the house and bills and things were paid. And I tell them, you know, like, that's a tradition, but it takes work from both sides. It takes from the man and the woman to come together as one. You can't just have the man putting in all the work. You can't just have the woman putting all the work. And I always tell them, too, for a marriage to sustain, you got to both be equally yoked, and you both got to have that spiritual connection with the Most High. You know, I always tell them, like, marriage is beautiful. No matter how many times people say, oh, it's bad, or divorces and things like that, you got people that get divorced and get remarried because they see that marriage can be beautiful. You just have to be patient enough to see, is this person waiting? Are you waiting for this person to bloom into a butterfly? Can you wait for that caterpillar to bloom into a butterfly? Because if you can, then you will see the rewards of the things that God has assembled, which is man and woman and your children and your household. You will see everything fall into place. You know, a lot of women just got to let men lead and not try to be the male of the household themselves. You know, it's only room for one head, and that's the male.
Yeah. Right. Well, sister, I'm going to tell you, and never change, because usually there's always a negative when someone comes, when you may state the positives of being patient, a helpmeet to a man. usually you'll run into people who have had some tough experiences, and they'll tell you, well, you feel, I was once like you, but what if he cheat, or, you know, I was once, but wait till he's still a man, this, that, and the other. You sound like a pick me. Let me tell you, sister, there's nothing in life that doesn't have ups and downs. But if you ever speak to older couples who made it through the thick and thin, they'll let you know. No, it wasn't perfect. We went through, they can give you many times where the relationship could have ended, but they realized that, you know, that there was a bigger responsibility and duty to each other. So believe me, you're going to get the negative out there, because many people have been hurt. Many people have hurt others. And sometimes that hurt projects on and say, well, okay, well, what if he cheats? Automatically, that comes in people's mind. And like, we revert to the most worst scenario instead of appreciating the fact that, you know what? Here's someone who's trying to do right. We automatically revert to the worst circumstance. What I'm saying to you in a nutshell, don't let anyone change your perspective. Even if things may get a little rocky, because there's no relationship that doesn't go through ups or downs. Okay, I'm just saying that. Don't let anyone on the outside influence you otherwise, even when things aren't going well. Okay? And that's what it's really about, sister. Perseverance, endurance, and because I'm going to tell you, some people out there will make you believe that it's okay to be with, to leave the one you're with to find a stranger. Nah. No,
yes, sir,
no.
and that's totally true. I've ran into a few women like,
yeah.
If you don't have to wait, you can go find someone that's already established. And I'm like, no, you know, me and my husband, it's something when you and your spouse, you struggle together, and you make it out on a beautiful end.
Yeah, well, it's like this, right? And then I'm gonna go to the next one. It's hard for men to adjust to someone different, let alone a woman. It's even harder for a woman to adjust. And the reason why it's hard for a woman to adjust is because women are very, when it comes to a man, she watch and she tailor herself based on the needs and to the character of that man that, you know, that she was used to being with, especially growing up. Women will sit there and watch a man and understand his likes, his does, what he don't like. And then okay, I got him down. I know exactly what this man needs, I can satisfy him. I can, you know, whatever the case, I can be his helpmeet. I understand what his pet peeves are. But then don't expect that to be with a stranger down the line, because once you've been adjusted to someone, that person may like the exact opposite of that person a woman have gotten adjusted to. So now they got a whole new Rubik's Cube you got to figure out again. So it was meant from the beginning that people be together for the rest of our lives. But those are not the cards we dealt in our modern times. But the reality is, it's best to work it out with the one you're with, is what I'm saying. And so don't get discouraged. You just continue to persevere and keep the Most High, you know, present in your lives. Okay, revert back to him privately and together. Always revert back to him, the Most High. All right? I wanted to put that out there. All right? Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Don't be discouraged out there. Many people, a lot of misery out there loves company. All right? 720.
Shalom, Pastor.
How you doing, Ty? I'm Elder.
Hey,
across
Shalom.
Your house.
Shalom, Elder.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Blessed by the best.
Okay, you had a comment?
Yes, sir, I did. So the only thing I wanted to comment on was the salary, as you said. And just me. Well, now I'm a single parent. I'm now getting divorced due to me being in the truth. Like, I didn't want to leave my husband, but my husband he put me away for it. But yeah,
okay.
I do.
Hold up. Let's slow walk this real quick. All right. So your husband put you away. He's divorcing you because you found the truth that you are an Israelite and that Christ died on the crucifix for you, and that with you being an Israelite comes law, where you put away paganism, and in actuality, you can benefit him because as his wife, you can be a helpmeet and a submissive woman according to the laws of the Old Testament. Why wouldn't a man want that?
Con, well, according to him, I came from the background of Islam, and he was raised in a Baptist church. So I never opened up the Bible until I found the truth. And I found the truth about 3 years ago and been baptized with the body since March 2021.
Okay.
But after my baptism, like, it literally started to go downhill, and I didn't understand what it was for. So I was like, hey, you know, me not being in the Bible, and now I'm looking at the Bible. I'm like, I didn't know this. So I was really, like, ecstatic, like, oh, I didn't know this, like, looking for confirmation from my husband, being that he was raised in a Baptist church, you know, he knows the Bible. But it was the other way around. He actually shut me out, and he said, no, you cannot do this. No, you cannot speak about this. I don't want to hear the Bible, until it got to the point to where he said that, you know what, when it comes to the Bible, I'm going to ask God if that was his word. Like, it got that bad to where I could not praise in the house. When it came to the Sabbath, either him, like, he will leave the house, or I will shut myself in the room. So I have to learn how to praise inwardly. And that's exactly what I did. And then at that same time, I was just continuously praying for my marriage, asking the Most High, asking the Elohim, please help me, please show me, you know, because...
Let me ask you something here in specific, because you're just rolling in thought, just trying to get out as much as you can, but let me try to bring some understanding or get some understanding more so. All right. So it was okay when you were a Muslim and didn't go into the Bible, your relationship was fine with him being a Christian believing in the Bible. Yes?
Yes.
But it was bad, it went off the rails, when you found out the Bible was true, the same Bible he believes in as a Christian. And now that you are elated to find yourself in it, he's questioning whether or not the book of his faith has any merit?
Yes.
So now he's a Christian that's questioning the Bible. Yeah.
Yes. He as of now, he doesn't even call himself Christian. He follows a church that doesn't have, like, Christ included. It's like an abbreviation, but it's not like Christ. It's like spiritual.
Okay.
It's
Do
like
they have a Bible
yeah.
in their church?
Elder, I'm not too sure.
Okay. How long have y'all been married?
Been married to him now 6 years.
6 years. Children?
Yes, two.
How old?
Age 3 and 19 months.
And he's going to file for divorce?
Well, yeah, I asked him. Well, since he already left
no,
me.
No, I'm asking you. Did he file for divorce?
No, he's not. He's not going to put up anything. He hasn't yet.
All right. So just continue to stay in prayer. And, you know, are you in a church right now, or are you just learning online?
No, Con. I'm in Dallas body.
Okay, well, of course, those brothers, they got it together there. You probably want to set up a consul. If not, I wouldn't. He didn't divorce you yet, so just use this time of separation and pray and come back together again. Let Satan come in for your incontinencies, like the scriptures say. But nah, you ain't divorced yet. It's not over. Those children need you both, so I'll pray that it work out, and just fight for what you have for the sake of those children.
Con, throw out a other.
Well, thank you. But man, I'm put you on hold. Well, let me tell you, boy, this truth is a tough thing, man. I mean, I've heard stuff like this before, where they'll accept you as a Buddhist, they'll accept you as a Muslim. But when a Christian find out that we are the Israelites and we literally believe in the Bible, that's when you find out just how little they truly believe in the book. Okay. To some degree, it's all about church is more so recreation for a lot of those people. They don't even believe in the Bible. It's the camaraderie and the recreation, little to do with the Bible at all, because as soon as it comes out that we believe in the Bible and that it's for us, you're ostracized or set apart altogether. Weird. Weird, weird. You can accept me as a pagan Muslim, a pagan Buddhist, but if I say I'm an Israelite and I believe in the Bible, you're ostracized? I mean, give me a break. I mean, churches has this thing where they're talking about inclusion of all genders and all sexualities to be inclusive. But to be an Israelite who believe in the Bible, you can't include us? What's wrong with this? Something is seriously wrong there. Josh has a question, but I hope it worked out at least for the children's sake, right? 513 area code. It's going to be a rough going there. One want to celebrate Christmas without a Bible. The other one is saying Passover. Lord. 513 area code.
Yes. Good evening, brothers.
How are you, Jean? You have a question.
Yes, first time caller.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
First and foremost, I would like to say I only have gotten your watch your broadcast a few times, but
okay.
I'm a little confused about Jesus and the Most High. So I heard you mention one time, and correct me if I'm wrong, I was, according to the scriptures, I believe that, well, you broke it down about Jehovah and the proper name, but according to the scriptures in the Old Testament, the Most High said, I am, and that he is, and he is the only God. I am who I say I am. And I'm confused because then we bring Jesus Christ into the picture. Then we try to say that they're one God. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't.
Okay,
I
think you are confused.
I only believe in one God.
Sister, I think you are confused. When you say that we try to bring him in, are you asking a question or have you made an assumption?
No, I'm asking a question. Is it just
what is your question?
One God? My question is it the
There's
one
only,
God?
Yeah, there
Jehovah?
Is one God.
So is
his name ain't Jehovah. There was no J's. There's only one God.
Yes. Where do Jesus stand in the picture?
Great question. Great question. You have a Bible?
Yes.
Okay, grab your Bible.
Yes, I have my Bible.
Okay. There's only one God, right? We all know that. Go to Genesis 1 and 1.
Go where?
Genesis 1,
Genesis.
Verse 1.
Okay, here we go. Okay, I have Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God
okay,
created
read
the
first
heaven
verse.
And earth.
Okay, let's stop right there. Who created the heaven and earth?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Who created the heaven and earth?
It said God.
Okay. All right. So that's God there, right?
Yes.
Go down to the 20. Go down to the 26th verse.
And God said, let us make man in our image.
Hold
after
up, stop
our likeness.
Right there. Stop right there. Let who?
Let us.
How many is us? Is that more than one?
Well, this is very complicated because us can be plural.
No, I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to ask you again. Let us. It's us.
Who is us? The who is us?
No. Sister, it's in order to learn, you have to listen. Let us. I'm asking you a question. In the definition of us, in the dictionary, is that more than one?
More than one.
Us is more than one, right?
Yeah.
So now go back to one and one.
Okay. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Okay, stop right there. So we know that God is us, more than one, right?
Okay.
Is it right? Because it says us. It's the same
okay.
God here that it is in the 26th verse. So in order for me to go
okay.
forward, you have to agree with what's evident. So that God is more than one, us, right? Okay. All right. Now, hold that and let's go to 1 John 5 and 7 in the New Testament. First John, it's right before the book of Revelation.
Okay, I'm trying to. I have a. John, what did you say? 5 and 7?
5, 5th chapter, 7th verse.
Okay. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Okay. So based on let us make man in our image, 1 John 5 and 7 says there's three that bear record, bear witness. There's three that bear record in heaven. Means a record is someone who had to be there from the beginning to bear record. Okay, so you had to be there from the beginning to make a record of it, right? So,
yes.
So there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So when it says bear record in heaven, Father, Word, Holy Spirit, that's more than one or us. Okay, so you ask, where do Christ come in? Christ is the Word. Okay? He was there in the beginning. The same way a family agrees in one. A matter of fact, read the next verse, the 8th verse. I'm going to show you how they agree in one or how they're one. Read the 8th verse.
And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one.
Exactly. Now I'm going to ask you, Is earth the same as the spirit?
No.
Is spirit the same as the water?
Nope.
Is water the same as the blood?
Nope.
So spirit, water, and blood are different, right? They're in the earth. These are three separate functions, which is what? Spirit isn't water. Water isn't blood. But all three agree in one, and that's why we're talking, because that's what makes a body. Spirit, blood, and water. Without the three, none of us lives, right? So
right.
The heaven says those three agree in one from the beginning. Different functions, but they all work through the power of God.
So this is God.
Listen. So us, let us make man in our image. The us is the first family. Father, Holy Spirit, Son. They bear record in the beginning. Christ is not God. He's the Son of God. He was the Son of God from the beginning.
Okay, but explain this. How is it that, okay, this says John's recording, but we know that the New Testament was written so many years after Jesus, thousands of years after Jesus had died. You know, how the John got this revelation after so many years, that the New Testament was attached.
Okay, so what you would like to do, Gene, is move the conversation on whether or not the New Testament is valid. You want to move from the answer to why in the beginning it says, let us make man in our image. So you want to change it to another argument is what you want.
It's deep. I just because I'm learning, but the Old Testament.
But sister, in order for you to learn, you have to do this. You got a Bible?
Yes.
Okay, you're reading it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Hebrews, real quick. Go to your book of Hebrews.
Okay. I'm there.
Right?
Yes.
Go to Hebrews 5 real quick.
I'm in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Okay, chapter 5.
Read the 12th verse.
For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
So it says for the time you are to be teachers, right? I'm going to go there with you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to bring it up so everyone can see it. But when the time you are to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which ye be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as one that need milk and not strong meat. So, sister, you're coming in with preconceived notions. You're confused based on the false teachings that you've had before you ran into this particular broadcast. That's why you question the New Testament. But no one that taught you about the Old Testament gave you the answer to why God is singular in the first chapter of the Old Testament and plural in the 26th verse.
Yes.
Okay. So obviously I must know something all through the Spirit of the Most High that the person who tried to confuse you about the New Testament didn't. So what you have to do is realize that if you're going to come in to learn, you can't teach the falsehood that someone gave you. You have to become like a baby again and say, I don't know. What you're saying is conflicting with my programming. Teach me. And I will. So I'm going back.
Listen.
That's what I'm saying. So stop. What you can't do is argue. You cannot argue a point just because you don't understand it. Listen, and I'm not offending you. Listen, someone discouraged you from going into the New Testament because they're not believers.
Exactly.
Okay. So the whole deal is I know the New Testament is right. I know that I can teach you everything I'm teaching you in 1 John 5 and 7. I can move the New Testament out of the way and show you Christ all through the Old Testament right now. Okay? This is what I'm telling you, though. Only the unlearned will tell you don't use half of the book that they are ascribing to. You know why? Because they don't understand the other book. If you don't understand Christ, if you don't understand Christ, you don't understand the Old or the New Testament, because he's the Word. So what frustrates these guys who say don't go into the New Testament is because they don't know Christ, they don't understand it. And their pride won't allow them to say, I don't know. Don't you fall victim to their miseducation, to their unbelief. I just gave you some understanding in 3 minutes on something that's in the Old Testament. That in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Okay? The Word was with. If I'm with lawyer, am I lawyer? No.
No.
So that's Christ with the Most High from the beginning. See? He was one of the powers that helped create all we see before earth was made. And what I would suggest is you go to historytimes.org. Get into the academy, okay? First week I'm breaking down the creation of the universe. Keep in mind, sister, the earth was made from the heavens, not the other way around. The spirit of Christ was here before earth, and that's what people don't understand. They just want to deal with him in the flesh. That was just one of the prophecies concerning him. There's a beginning prophecy. There's a life prophecy, and there's an end prophecy for his return.
Okay.
So you were saying
go to history?
Historytimes.org.
Okay.
And if you don't, let me tell you, and if you don't know the creation and what Christ's function is after that, listen, I suggest, I don't know what to tell you. We're going to teach.
I truly believe I know there's a God.
Yeah.
I truly can see the awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but what you can't do, sister, is be tossed to and fro in different winds of doctrine.
Right.
Internet,
I believe that.
The internet is filled with convincing heretics. So you have to understand the foundation. And that's why the Most High have you here. Because when you learn under us, you'll be able to filter through the rest and understand right from wrong, because we teach the foundation first.
Yes. Amen.
Becoming the volume of the book. All right. Okay. All right.
Yes, he does. So, and he said many books are the weary of the mind also. Yeah.
Exactly.
If we get into all those other books.
Exactly. So here it is. Let us make man in our image. Who's the us?
The Word, I guess it was Jesus.
Yeah, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. You got it. There you go. You learned something.
Where are you teaching out of? Iowa? Where are you teaching out of? Sir?
I'm teaching out of everywhere. Where are
everywhere.
You?
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Okay, we have a brother in Cincinnati that can actually call you and get with you, right? And get you to the church, right? Let me get your name. Gene? That's your name? All right, I talked to the brother in Cincinnati today, so he'll be calling you, all right?
Okay, thank you. And keep
You're
up the
welcome.
Good work.
Hey, okay. I don't have a choice. I'm a prisoner.
I think you're doing a great job. I wish I was in your class, because I have many questions, seriously, because I have studied religion. I have been, like I said, studied Jehovah's Witness and I was in that religion for a long time. So,
okay,
I'm not there now, but.
That was a part of your journey, but you're here now. You're here now. All right.
Okay, then. Okay, good night.
All right, good night.
Bye.
See that, folks? I know some of y'all saying, oh, okay, recall going to get. We're teachers. And wait till she get in that academy. Is it going to blow her mind? I'll tell you that. She's going to be like, oh, I'm home. 816 area code. 816.
Hello?
Oh, no, I can't do that, my brother. I can't be having stuff playing in the background. I'll get back with you, though. Make sure I'm not playing in the background, please. 312 area code.
Hi, Elder Carr.
How are you, Ashley?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best. It's late at night. I should have been in bed. Talk to me.
Me too. Oh, man, this is my first time calling, but I just had a comment really quickly. I just wanted to say that you can see, like, how they indoctrinate people by, like, putting it in the movies and stuff like that about, like, men should be taking care of, like, the babies, and you see more of that, like, coming, like, towards us. And just showing that, like, they're supposed to be, like, the caretakers and nurturers as opposed to, like, the women. And the women are supposed to be, like, you know, the bosses and supposed to be working and bringing home the bacon. And I used to think, like, when I saw that, I was just like, wow, like, that's, you know, that's not right. And, like, so many of my friends would be like, you know, that's okay, it's all right. The men are supposed to take care of the babies. But, like, as I've been on this journey, I've seen that that I was right, and that like they are to be a part of the family, but like not like where they're taking care of the baby, like they're the nurturer, like they're the woman.
Well, sister, I'm making an effort that if I see any indoctrination of role reversals, where I see some nonsense, I turn it off. I don't even deal with it.
Yeah.
If I see a little skinny woman go put a big man in a full Nelson, and flip him around, I'm out of it. I walk out of the movies, or I just turn the TV off, or I turn the station. I don't got no time for it. I seen one thing where a sister, I think it was for the love of money or something, and it was on Stars, and I turned through it, and a woman was talking to her husband saying that, I know I divorced you, and I'm sorry I cheated. But and he's sitting there, his lip is about to shake. He's sitting there like a little girl, and she's saying, "But I'm gonna tell you, I'm a darn good woman, and you know I'm a great mother." And he's just sitting there, just defeated. I'm like, "How did he take this role? What's up with this guy?" I'm sorry, I cheated on you, and you know. And then she said that she said something to the like that. That you know that I wanted my music career and you was doing everything to get in front of my passion. Man, I was about to throw my shoe and break the TV. A sister telling a brother this, and he's sitting there slumped down with the divorce papers in front of him. Oh, man, I'm like, if I don't get that remote control fast, I didn't grab that thing fast enough. I'm like, what the Hades is our children looking at? And you know I'm a darn good mother.
Really
I cheated because you got in front of my dreams. You know my passion, and I'm like, who listens to this hot mess? I'm done. I'm digressing into digression at this point. It's time for a curtain call. Where's Sunshine? Thank you, sister. All right.
Bye bye. Have a great day.
All right. Bless you. Role reversals. I'm with you. All right, Sunshine. Let her rip.
So long, hi. So long, Elvis, hi.
The curtain's going down. Come on. It's 11 o'clock at night. Almost 11:30.
Okay.
I need to eat again.
Okay. So long, Elvis.
I will eat.
Okay,
Come on, sister. Hey, you gotta let it roll. It's late.
Okay. This is definitely a world that has built us up into a belief of a grand illusion or delusion, only to do what the Aleister Crowley and Pike desire or proclaim. And that is to pull the rug of righteousness out from under those who, you know, once believed in God, Jew and Gentile alike. so that the majority of people on the earth can now do as thou wilt, to operate in like that confusing mixture of good and evil, so that no one in the end would be able to identify good or evil clearly, but most would muddy the waters and accept the gray haze, like one sister was mentioning, so that in this confusion and majority view that is warm, the evil will abound still, and the whole earth would be herded into the now world of my truth, his truth, her truth, and so-called all truths accepted as the individualist view. And with this like Western Roman slant that has attacked the four corners of the world where Israel resides and the entire world of the ignorant, disillusioned, or disobedient, the norm has become a sort of like norm haze that everyone that is of the world, like Elder Loria was speaking about, expects and chooses to operate in, so that what was once normal and respectful behavior is now viewed as peculiar and even dangerous to the heightened heathenistic restructuring of this new world that we are experiencing progressively. And from the start, the image of God would be removed from our present view, but done in increments, like small increments, micro shifts from what was lawful and acceptable, and morphed into what our communities now see as like acceptable, though it's degenerative behavior, and it's barely noticeable, these micro shifts. So essentially, a multi-layered mind job or world experiment has been played on everyone, so that Satan has deceived the whole world according to prophecy, and now men don't want to be men and women don't want to be women. Yet at the core, women desire the traditional roles, you know, that we're meant to have as helpmeet onto a husband, and a man desires the role as provider and protector. So the deception has run so deep to cause people to consciously and unconsciously walk this earth their entire lives in a like a costly lie to the home, to the family, to the community and nation of Israel especially, and costly to happiness and even the eternal soul. So everything willfully structured has toppled everything else to where people are reduced in their minds and lives to desperate feelings of no hope, no chance, and no belief in the true God of all gods, which is the high end. This is right where Satan and the fallen wanted us to be, so that the love of many has waxed cold, and all their many truths are easily offended, and sacrifices, and they have become sacrifices that are now accessible as hosts for increased demonic act, nursing this very wicked world that Christ prophesied would be. But we get the feeling strongly within all this that the Most High Spirit poured out onto the world, that the plan to topple righteousness has increased to its height and reached the heavens, and the only place for this evil to go now is down to the ground. And those who have exalted their heads through this will fall into the pit, because with each waking eye of Israel as a light onto the world, you know, to those Gentiles that are desiring truth, Babylon falls, the world falls, and with one light shining at a time, our kingdom comes, and the checkmate to strike fear in the hearts of those spinners of lies. So that's all I wanted to say out there. Praise the Most High.
That's it?
Praise the Most High.
Praise the Most High.
Oh, praise to the Most High. Babylon falls.
That's how you know it's getting too deep, right? Bless you. You know it's getting late.
Bless you. Bless you, Elder. Praise the Most High.
Oh, you know I'm tired. I done found curtains to close and everything. 816 area code. I'm sorry you had things playing in the background. I only got about 2 minutes. Let it flow. I didn't want to think I overlook you. 816.
No big deal, Elder. I was just in the host queue by mistake anyway.
All right. I'm sorry about that. You have a good night. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up and understand. Get from up under the illusion of prosperity. I'm the Elder of Carl Shriar, the Gathering Christ Church. See you on Patreon this Friday. That's right. We got our brother Kazak, who's going to be coming on every Thursday for the Spanish ministry. I'm going to pop in on that too. And Friday, don't forget Patreon. Thank you. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up. Sin not. We will soon see Israel. That's right.